We're in the book of Romans again. Let's open up there to verse number 12. Here's the way verse 12 reads. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, that bothers me. Because I don't like being a debtor. If somebody walked up to you and said, "You owe me, dude," what would be one of your first inclinations? "I don't owe you nothing, man. What do I owe you? What are you talking about?" When the bills come in the mail and you get that notice that you owe some money, is that a good thing? Is that something that makes you happy? Kind of lifts your heart up inside? "Oh, I got a bill in the mail today. Oh, joy." Nah, we don't like owing things. And when somebody says we're debtors, right away that kind of doesn't fit well. So let's stop and remember what has happened that has made us debtors. Paul opened this book by saying the just shall live by faith. And then he spent several chapters showing us why it was necessary to live by faith. Because some people would say, "Well, faith, well, what about my works? What about the things that I do for God? What about those? Don't those count?" And Paul spent a great deal of time showing us that you couldn't be good enough. And the Jews might come and say, "Well, we had the word of God. We had the sacrifices. We had the Mosaic system." And Paul showed that the Jews needed to come to God by faith. Their works weren't enough to save them. Some people would think, "Well, I'm religious. I have an affiliation with a church," or "I'm a good moral person." And then Paul showed that religious people and moral people have a problem, and they need to come to God by faith too. Even pagans, atheists, humanists, anybody. Paul spent some time showing us that every human being on the face of the earth, no matter what group they were in, had a problem. And the problem, of course, was sin. And sin will separate an unrighteous person from a holy God. It's the way it works. So we needed something to be done, and we couldn't provide it ourselves because we were already contaminated with sin. And so rather than trusting in our own works, God made a system whereby we would trust in His work. The work that He did was sending His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And by placing our faith in His works and not our own, then we could be saved. And then the just would live by faith in God through believing in Jesus Christ. Of course, if you say that, then of course questions come up. And Paul spent some time answering those questions. One question came up and it said, "Well, if where sin abounds, grace abounds much more," that's what Paul had written. They said, maybe it's okay just to live in sin then, because the more we sin, the more God pours out grace, so shouldn't we sin it up? And Paul dealt with that, and he said, "Of course not. That's silly." He said, "Don't you know that if you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into His death? You're dead to sin. How can you walk in it any longer?" And then some other people came up with a question and said, "Well, you know, maybe we're not supposed to live there, but couldn't we camp out once in a while and just visit the place and, you know, visit old sins and have some fun? Because we are under grace now, not the law." And Paul said, "Well, that's silly too. Don't you know that whoever you serve, you become that one's master whom you serve? And if you serve sin, you become a slave to sin." And it's easy to see how that works. Someone can get saved, be saved, say, from alcoholism, and then go back to drinking. They're still saved, but now they become a slave to alcohol again, hooked on it once again, needing to be redeemed once again by Jesus Christ. Paul even looked in his own heart and said, "Here I am, born again." And he said, "I have a problem." He said, "I've got this dual nature inside of me. The flesh, the old man, the person I used to be, still wants to sin. But the new man, the spirit that's been placed inside of me, that wants to serve God." And he said, "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things I do want to do, I end up not doing. Who will save me from myself?" And of course, the answer was, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus saves us from our sins and sets us free. So when we got into chapter 8, which is where we are now, we said that this was like the high point of the book of Romans, because all the other stuff is about how, you know, what sinners we are and how much we need Jesus and how God has made a way for us to come through faith. But you get to Romans chapter 8 and suddenly it's about what Jesus has done for us. And so Romans chapter 8 opened with these words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And so if we've come to God by the way that He's made, by His Son Jesus Christ, condemnation passes away. We're free. And that was what we talked about last week. We called last week's message Living Free, because Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we spent some time last week talking about living free. Christ has set us free from sin. It no longer rules over us. Now, if you live free, that means you're free to follow God. And if you follow God, He will lead you into every good thing, all blessings. And that we have a term for that today. We call that living large. So last week we talked about living free. This week I want to talk about living large. Living large in Jesus, what that means. Verse 12 again says this, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors." Who are we debtors to? God, for telling us the truth, for showing us the way, for making a way for us to come, for sending His Son, Jesus. We're debtors to Jesus for coming and for living that perfect life and offering it up for us, for offering forgiveness to sinful people. So we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but to God. If you're ever going to owe anybody anything, it's good to owe God something. He's a real good person to be in His debt. Verse 13 says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And I was thinking for ways to illustrate this and make it kind of accessible to you. And I came up with a story that I've shared with some of you before. Some of you may not have heard it. The story about a cat named Puffy. So I'm going to tell you tonight about Puffy. You've heard it. We have a lot of animals that roam around here today. Today we had a hawk fly into the side of the building. It was cool, but not for the hawk. He flew into the building, and then some of us went outside and looked, and he was kind of like standing on the ground, kind of like shaking his head, and one wing was hanging lower than the other, and he would hop a little bit and fly and take off, and eventually he was okay. He took off, and he's gone. But we just have all these critters around here, hawks and eagles, buzzards. You know, you're in a live church when there's a buzzard in the parking lot, you know. Coyotes. But mostly what we have are domestic animals, people's dogs and cats that roam around and things. I was coming to work one day and driving up the road here, Camino del Medio, and I saw a cat laying on the side of the road. Apparently it had been hit by a car. I didn't give it much more thought, came in, went to work, and went home that night. Next day I came in again, and the cat had changed in a subtle way. Didn't give it too much more thought, went in, went to work, and went home. Third day I came in, now you understand it's August, it's hot. Third day I came in, and the cat had changed even more. Now remember, the cat is named Puffy. That will tell you a little bit about what's going on. When it's time for us to meet our Maker, our spirit leaves the body. There is a separation that we call death. And then the bacteria that live in our body begin to work on what is left and produce gases and things, and so we had Puffy the cat outside. The whole point of telling you that is to tell you this. Flesh dies. That's what it does. You know, you wake up in the morning and you stretch. Imagine a really great morning. Sun's coming in the windows. There's birds on the trees. There's leaves on the branches. You wake up and you stretch and you just feel the life in your body and it just feels good. You ever have a morning like that? Ah, glad to be alive. But you know what? In this body, you're dead. Because every human being born into this world is born dead on arrival with a disease called sin that separates you from a righteous and holy God. And since God is the source of life, now Puffy shows us that flesh does one thing. It dies. And then it decays and becomes corrupt. But God is the source of life. When He fashioned Adam out of the clay, the dust of the ground, when He'd finished His work, there lay a figure on the ground in front of Him, Adam, without any life in it whatsoever. It looked like a man. God had done a good job. But it didn't breathe, it didn't move, it didn't talk. Not until God leaned over and breathed the spirit of life into that lump of clay. Then the eyes opened and it stood to its feet and God called it by name, Adam. And God began to have a relationship with that man. You see, the spirit is life. The spirit that God placed in that lump of clay gave that lump of clay life. But without the spirit, flesh is dead. You may get up and eat your Wheaties every morning, but it doesn't matter. You're dead on arrival into this world because you have a disease called sin that separates you from God. Death is separation. At the moment of death, your spirit separates from your body. But if you're born separated from God, that means even though you're walking and talking, you're spiritually dead. You have no future whatsoever. And so the flesh dies, but the spirit gives life. And that's why in verse 13 it says, if you live according to the flesh, according to the desires of your old nature. And you know, the book of Ephesians talks about the works of the flesh. And it talks about things like drunkenness and bitterness and adultery and fornication. If you live according to the flesh and all the things that the flesh wants, you're dead. Because that's an indication that there's no life in you, no spirit. So if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So now if God's Spirit has been placed in you because of faith in Jesus Christ, that Spirit gives you life. And it aims you in a whole new direction. Away from drugs, away from alcohol, away from fornication, away from bitterness, away from anger, away from unforgiveness. It gives you a new direction in life. The key here is the word, if you put to death the deeds of the body. Well, how do I put to death the deeds of the body? Remember what death is. Death is separation. If you separate yourself from your old life, if you walk away from it, you will live. And that's a word that we call repentance in the Bible. Repentance, fancy Bible word. What does it mean? It means to turn away from something. And anytime you turn away from something, you turn to something at the same time, don't you? So if I look at my life and I realize this is flesh, that's all it is. This is the old man, the old nature. And I look at that and I turn away from it. I'm repenting of that. But the minute I turn away from it, I'm turning to something else. And I'm turning to Jesus. If you live according to the flesh, if all you see in your life is the things of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, the lusts of the eye, then you need to seriously question where you are. Because if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. That's what flesh does. It dies. But if you live according to the Spirit, if you separate yourself from the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. For, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And right there is an interesting thing, because we get to find out what it is that makes you a child of God. And I'm going to say to you, that's an important thing to know, because I've heard so many people claim things like, we are all children of God. Thanks for playing. You've been a great contestant. Come back next week and try again. In other words, wrong. We're all creations of God. God is our creator. Every single person, those who love him and those who could care less. God has created us. But to be a child of God is something special, something different. I've heard many groups come to me and say, well, we're children of God. But then you'll look at their life and you'll see that they're living in the sins of the flesh. And you realize there's a problem. Is it possible to be led by the flesh and be a son of God? Well, here's something I know for sure. If you're led by the Spirit, then you're a son of God. Listen to what John had to say about this. Let's back up two books and go to John, the Gospel according to John. And look at John chapter 1 for just a minute. Because John had some things to say about being children of God. Sometimes you hear that phrase, the fatherhood of God. And people who use that phrase usually mean everyone's a child of God. No, everyone's a creation of God. But you get to become a child of God. Here's what John says in John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, to the nation of Israel, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them, whoever they were, Jewish, Gentile, it didn't matter, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So, being a child of God isn't something you're born into. You're born again into it. You become a child of God. How do you do that? By believing in Jesus, who God sent. By placing your faith in him. And as Paul said, the just shall live by faith. So it's by our faith in Jesus that we become born again, born not just of flesh and not of blood, but now born of the Spirit. Because when God saves us, because we placed faith in Jesus Christ, when he does that, then he places a new spirit inside of us. And suddenly, where we were dead, now we're alive. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." If you're led by the Spirit, do you know where you're going to go? You're going to go to Jesus. And if you're led by Jesus, do you know where you're going to go? You're going to go to the Father. Here's the way it works. The Bible says that the function of the Spirit in this world today that we live in and in our lives is to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. Every time the Spirit convicts you or someone else of sin, what he's doing is he's showing you your heart. You get a good look at yourself. Oh, are we? Hang on, just put it on pause, Bill.